It is a Sunday morning ritual for the wonks. Tune into the AM political shows to see some spouting, some shouting, and yesterday, some hardcore questioning of Republican presidential candidates. Rudy Giuliani cornered on a security firm's client list and his defense of Bernard Kerik as Homeland Security chief nominee. Mike Huckabee had to explain why he was kind of clueless about a major news story last week, and for some pointed remarks about quarantining AIDS patients he made back in 92. Did any of it register as Team 00 in 08 hit the road for the Oprama tour? Jim Vandehei is our regular Monday morning quarterback, political quarterback, co-founder of Politico.com. Hey, Jim.
Great to be here. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Probably feeling a little better than Rudy Giuliani this morning. I got to imagine he's a little sore from some of those hits he was taking from Tim Russert. Russert was really tough on him yesterday, pressing on security detail for his then-girlfriend, now-wife, about the Bernard Kerik nomination. First of all, let me get your thoughts on the questioning. Was it as bruising as it seems, or am I just a wimp?
It was certainly very tough, and quite frankly, there's a lot of tough questions that I think Rudy Giuliani has to answer. I mean, whether it's, you know, sort of how he dealt with staffing for his then-mistress when he was a mayor, or how he's dealing with Giuliani Partners, which is his Bracewell Patterson, also his sort of professional work now, because he worked for a lobbying firm that has a lot of questionable clients. He has not been on Russert's show or a lot of these other Sunday shows where he's had to undergo such grilling. So I think it was an important test for him. And quite frankly, given how harsh the questioning was, I think he did a pretty good job. He did not lose his cool. He clearly was prepared for everyone and had at least a plausible response on each item. You know, it's interesting because he used to be a prosecutor, and one of his political opponents said that the reason that he has a lot of success is that he sort of prepares for these things like he is preparing for a legal case, and he knows where his vulnerabilities are, and he always prepares the most plausible explanation and defends it fairly in a fairly articulate way when he is in the public stage.
Well, let's play an exchange just as Russert and Giuliani continue to go back and forth and back and forth about Giuliani Partners, that security consulting firm the former mayor founded back in 02. Russert was pressing Giuliani about releasing the client list, which contains some names that might not appeal to the average American, like Qatar, because of terrorist ties there. Let's listen to Giuliani.
I couldn't put out a list of all my clients. There are confidentiality agreements that surround the relationship that businesses have with law firms in particular, in some cases with security firms. So I can't do that. All I can tell you is the following. I can tell you that every client of GP of any significance, while I was there, while I was involved in the day-to-day operations of it, has been discussed. A significant number of the Bracewell Giuliani clients have been discussed. And the reality is that none of them amount to anything other than ethical, lawful, decent work done by both companies.
Is that a good enough answer with so little time until the first contests?
I think it might be a sufficient answer politically in the short term, because I don't think it's his biggest vulnerability. I think he's much more vulnerable, particularly if his opponents start running ads on the fact that he was arranging for protection for his then mistress when he was mayor in New York. I think that's something that conservatives understand, and it amplifies something that conservatives are really troubled by, the fact that he's on his third marriage and that he does have a lot of baggage in his personal life. You know, he was a lobbyist, or he worked for a company that does a lot of lobbying, and that's never a good profile to have when you're running for president, because there's so many areas where you can look at the work that his company was doing, even work that he wasn't directly engaged in, that just doesn't pass the smell test for a lot of voters.
All right, let's look at the conservative that a lot of conservatives are leaning towards, Mike Huckabee. He kind of had a what me worry moment. He, for some reason, didn't really have an answer or know that much about last week's news about the NIE memo about Iran stopping its nuclear program in 03. Is that a real gaffe, or reporters just looking for anything on this guy that everybody likes so much?
I got to say, I found it pretty astounding, mostly because this was, you know, well over a day after reports had come out about the NIE findings. And it's such a big deal, the NIE findings, because it has a profound effect on U.S. policy towards Iran, which is a big issue of debate in this presidential election. And it's certainly plausible that he's a busy guy, didn't have a chance to read the newspapers. But you'd think he would get briefed on this. You'd think that he would have had a chance to hear about it somewhere from someone that, hey, this very big deal took place that really is going to alter how people talk about Iran and their nuclear program. And it also plays to a concern a lot of conservatives have with Huckabee, and I think will increasingly have with Huckabee, and that is he really the guy to carry the mantle of we're going to be tough on national security and tough on terrorists when essentially his profile and his strengths are on the domestic side of the equation?
He also had to answer for some statements he made back in 92 about homosexuality and AIDS. He wrote that AIDS research was overfunded by the federal government and that AIDS patients should be isolated. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, wow, that's really extreme. But then I thought, well, maybe his base and his supporters might not disagree.
Certainly, there's probably a fair amount of conservatives who might have had similar feelings back in 92. His explanation's a little odd because he seems to almost pretend like there was less information known about AIDS patients and victims in 92 than it actually was. And he hasn't completely backed off from the statement, but I essentially being very harsh on homosexuality and harsh on AIDS is not something that's going to hurt him, particularly in Iowa, where he's getting the bulk of his support from evangelical Christians who, like him, consider homosexuality aberrant behavior and sinful behavior.
All right, so the Democrats were fighting for women voters over the weekend. In one corner, Hillary Clinton with her mom and her daughter. And the other corner, Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey. Is that even a fair matchup?
No.
I don't even know if I can even put it in those terms.
Chelsea? Come on. who really cares about Chelsea Clinton campaigning anywhere, much less in Iowa, whereas like, Oprah brings out tens of thousands of people, and it obviously just has star appeal that very few people in the world do today, much less politics do today. And I thought that was a pretty electric event. I thought that was actually pretty neat to see sort of this powerful collection of African Americans on that stage drawing, I think, so much energy from each other. I think it was a great event for Obama. I'm skeptical that any of this stuff really makes a big difference for how people are going to vote. I mean, is someone at the end of the day going, I really like Hillary, but, you know, Oprah's backing Obama, therefore I'm going with Obama. I'm skeptical of that, but it certainly was a great opportunity for him to put the focus on his campaign, I think, in a very positive light, and to be able to turn out a lot of people at a couple of events. I think, hey, you know, that's a good day when you're in politics.
It may not change people's minds, but is it possible that people who are more or less apathetic, like non-voters who really love Oprah, would actually come out and vote? I mean, is it possible that it could create a new group of people voting for Obama?
That's the conventional wisdom, and everything I saw on the Sunday shows, everybody's saying that's true. I don't think that that's true.
She got people to read a 900-page Ken Follett book. Think about it.
That's true. You can do that from home, though. You don't have to sit in a schoolhouse building in caucus in the dead of January. I just think they're two different things. But possibly there's some voters, and the truth is, when there's so few people vote, particularly in Iowa, if you can turn out anybody for Obama, that could make the difference, because everyone thinks this is going to come down to a few percentage points and therefore a few hundred or thousand votes. So any little bit helps.
I got to squeeze in two more questions here. First of all, the LA Times, there was an article talking about women who were very much like Hillary Clinton, sort of mirrored her in terms of education and accomplishment, not really caring for her a whole bunch as a candidate, that women who perhaps were blue collar working their way up saw her as aspirational, but her peers, not that into her. Does Hillary Clinton have a woman voter problem?
Well, it's funny because all the discussion up until 2 weeks ago was about how sort of the whole base and theory of her electability was that she would turn out so many more women. You remember Mark Penn, her top strategist, put out this document saying that she would draw a record number of women into the process. That still may be true, but recent polling suggests that Obama's doing better than Hillary, at least in some polls in Iowa. And I certainly think there's a large number of women and a probably even larger number of men who have been very troubled by I think her what appears to be cold calculation and her cold ambition. And I think that does not sit well with a lot of people. I'm certain, just from my own life experience and talking to people about politics, there's a lot of women who are troubled by the fact that she has stood by Bill Clinton when they feel like he so much disrespected her by what he did, particularly in the 90s. So I think she's always going to have to answer those questions, and I don't necessarily think it's a gender-specific issue.
Sure. And finally, any news out of the GOP debate last night hosted by Spanish Language Network Univision at the University of Miami?
I mean, I think the news is that Republicans better wise up. I mean, the fact that they showed up and did the debate was probably pretty good for them. There was a new poll that came out, I believe the Pew Hispanic Research Group, whatever it's called, came out last week, and it just showed that Republicans are getting crushed when it comes to the Hispanic vote, which is still relatively small, but is the fastest growing voter segment in the country.
Sure.
And because of their rhetoric on immigration, Republicans have spooked Hispanic voters, and you can't do that. You have to figure out a way, if you're a Republican, to appeal to minority voters, and you can't just always appeal to your base. So yesterday was probably a start, but the language, again, was still very much anti-immigration, and they have to figure out a way to calibrate it, probably much in the way that McCain has, if you want to appeal to moderates and independents and sort of broaden the tent rather than just cram more people into the tent you already hold.
Jim Vandehei, co-founder of Politico.com. Have a great one, Jim.
Cheers. Bye.